You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
There goes my Sunday dog day. Usually take my pups to the dog park after the show. Still get my spin class in. That's a plus. How long are you guys at the studio today? Are you guys? And by the way, why is my show condensed? Who follows me at 11:30? It's a game, right?
Rangers Capitals.
Woo! Another Rangers game.
There we go.
They lost yesterday. I know. I talk to my dogs. I know. So Rangers Capitals pregame show coming your way at 11:30. Puck drops, I'm assuming, at noon. And then who follows the Rangers game?
Chris Carlin till 6 o'clock tonight.
Chris Carlin till 6. By the way, you've been hearing all the promos for it, especially that catchy tune. Can you play that from your computer, the Michael K. 2 p.m.? I heard it once. All I have to do is hear it again. I'm probably going to be singing it down the aisle when I go grocery shopping later today.
Yeah, it's a really good job at Brown Chair. It's so obnoxious that you're forever going to remember it.
But that's what you need to do, right?
Yeah.
It's like cars for kids.
Oh, I
beginning Monday.
Here we go.
It's a new start time for the Michael K. Show.
You going to sing it with me, Ty?
Michael K. Show. 2 p.m.
the Michael K. Show. Now at 2 p.m. the Michael K. Show. Now at 2 p.m. Trust me, it is Sunday. What does this mean? Today is a honey-do list for a lot of dudes. They're going to be grocery shopping. They're going to be, and this is going to come up. The Michael K. Show. Now at 2 p.m. the Mike. Trust me. So anyway, the Michael K. Show with the fellas, like I like to call them. Now they go from 2 to 6:30, and then Chris comes on starting at 6:30 as well. So a change in the lineup, and then also Michael, you said Kellerman will still be 2 to 4 on ESPN. Correct. 10:50 a.m. and that's 2 to 4 p.m. right? Okay. All right, so just a few changes in our lineup. Guys, let's dive into what happened with the Brooklyn Nets. LaMarcus Aldridge joins the team. Now, he averages about 20 points, 9 rebounds a game. This is his 15th NBA season. Of course, 9 in Portland. He hasn't played since March 1st, by the way. Because the Spurs and him, of course, agreed on March 10th that they would separate until a trade or a buyout could end his 6 years with that franchise. So he hasn't played since March 1st, just FYI. But still, with this addition, Blake Griffin, the expectation that Kyrie's going to be in the right frame of mind, Harden just keeps on double-doubles pretty much every night, triple-doubles on occasion. Anticipating that KD's going to come back and be, like I said, I'm just going to throw out a percentage. Let's just say 75-80%, right? Is it fair if we expect him to be 100% and last 100% throughout the postseason? I don't think so. But nonetheless, the Nets right now are favored to win the championship at plus 260. Okay? The Lakers, your Lakers, Ty, right behind them at plus 290. And obviously a big reason for that is because of what's going on with LeBron James. And that high ankle sprain, they say 4 to 6 weeks for that injury to recover. So where we are right now in that injury, we're looking at 2 to 4 weeks until LeBron can come back, as well as Anthony Davis, of course, who we know is dealing with an Achilles issue. So obviously a big reason why they are no longer favored, and they are now second in regards to the odds makers at plus 290. The Clippers, everybody's sleeping on the Clippers. Okay, 5 to 1 to win the championship. And then the Bucks, who've been great as of late, boy. They have definitely turned it on, and they're flying low on the radar, and they're fine with that. Everything I'm reading, fine. Don't talk about us. Underestimate us. It's fine. They're 7 to 1. So those are the odds. Nets plus 260. Ty, I'm going to come to you on this. You know, I've been saying Nets. I've been on the Nets before they made the deal for Blake Griffin, before they made this deal for Aldridge. I've been on the Nets. So I got the Nets with even better odds 2 months ago. I'm curious, does this now, and coming from somebody, I find this interesting, somebody who's a Lakers fan, How confident are you now that the Nets could win a championship with the additions that they've just recently made?
Well, like you, I was on the Nets, quote-unquote, bandwagon prior to even the James Harden trade. Like when it was just Durant and Irving, I said the Nets were going to the finals. The Bucks, I know they've been the best team regular season-wise the last 2 years, and they've got the reigning MVP two times over. I know the Sixers have Embiid, one of the best players in basketball, along with Simmons. But I just thought that the Nets, with Durant as the second-best player in basketball and Kyrie Irving as one of the best two men we've ever seen, the best Robins we've ever seen, I just felt like they were that good enough to get to the finals. And we're going to hit on this and click or don't click. But adding LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't know how much that moves the needle, because you know, you mentioned he's averaging 20 points per game. That's over his career. He has not been the same player since he left Portland. There is a reason why the Spurs bought him out. There's a reason why the Pistons bought out Blake Griffin. These aren't two guys who are well in their prime, and all of a sudden we add them to the mix, and it's 2017. You look at a star-studded lineup that's the best in the history of the league. No, it's not that kind of a deal. I think that the Nets, prior to these moves, were going to win the East. After these moves, they get a little bit better, but I just thought they were very unnecessary. I don't think they should have gone in this direction. But like I said, we'll hit more on that and click it on click.
Now, here's my question to you. Do you now, from what I'm reading, everything I understand, he's going to play the majority of his minutes is going to be at the center position. So now I look at this. I still think DeAndre Jordan is going to start. Keep in mind, Nick Claxton, who I've become somewhat of a fan of, has been really impressive coming in for Jordan. So really, I look at this move, especially with Blake Griffin, Aldridge and Griffin coming off the bench to offer some time. That's kind of, are you expecting Jordan to continue? Like, I'm expecting Jordan to continue to start and Aldridge to come in and when Jordan comes out for a breather.
Yeah, he's their guy. Like, this was part of the quote-unquote big three, and he's not really a big three member, but just part of the group that came over in free agency. It was Durant, Irving, and for some odd reason, they had to include DeAndre Jordan. But yeah, he's still going to start. I think Claxton's a better player at this point.
I like Claxton a lot.
He's a better player. He does everything they need him to do. He's a rim protector. He rebounds. He finishes the lobs. He can finish in traffic. I really like him. He's a really nice player and everything that they need him to be, whereas DeAndre Jordan is such a diminished version of where he was when he was in his prime with the Clippers.
Claxton's been winning me some money. Each time the Nets play, I've been taking the over in rebounds with Claxton. If you could find it, it's few and far between where you could find that prop bet, but if you can find it, I've been taking the over, and more times than not, he's been delivering for me. And one more thing before we do go break, we're going to come back with Click or Don't Click. We're going to take a tour around our wide, wide world of sport and find out what is trending. And Ty, of course, will lead the way. But the MVP odds right now, Jokic, I always have a hard time pronouncing his name, -121. He's favored right now. Embiid is 6-1. Giannis is 7-1. LeBron is 8-1. And Harden is 9-1. Now, keep in mind, I started talking about this about a good month and a half ago, Ty, I believe. And at that point in time, Harden to win the MVP was 33-1. I said, man, I mean, a dollar wins you $33. Throw $5 on it. What do you got to lose? $5? What is that? Like a cup of coffee at Starbucks? Something. Last week, we revisited this topic. And at that point in time, it had dropped to 11-1. And that was after, of course, LeBron James had his injury. So now, obviously, all the odds change, because prior to the injury, LeBron James was favored to win the MVP. I want to say it was like 2-1 or +230. Now Harden, 9-1. So in a month and a half, in about 45 days, 33-1. Now it's dropped to 9-1. 9-1. Could have had it at 33-1. Just saying. Just throwing it out there. Let's end the segment on this, and we'll come back again second hour with a little Click or Don't Click. We're going to hear from Jimmy Patsos as well, talking more NCAA basketball at 10:30. But you, again, being a big Lakers fan, big LeBron James fan, you know, how confident are you in LeBron James can still win the MVP, even though he's going to be out for another two to four?
He's not going to win it.
He's out. You have him.
Yeah.
You have him and Embiid out.
Yeah, you can't miss a seventh of the season and still be part of the MVP conversation.
Okay. So are you liking Harden 9-1?
No.
Or are you more on Giannis? Are you more on Giannis?
Jokic is going to win it. It'll be Jokic, Dame, Giannis. Harden's not going to win it. The voters are not going to give him the award
because of what happened in Houston.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. You could argue he is the most valuable player in the league right now because without him, the Nets would be fighting for a playoff spot. Everyone looked at this move as unnecessary and because you got KD and Kyrie, but here's my question.
Here's my question. Shouldn't the MVP vote be about what you do on the court and what you do for a team, not necessarily what happens off the court or how you try to maneuver and game the system to your benefit?
It should be, but if you're the league, you don't want to glorify a player who made you look bad, made one of your organizations just look bad in the way he handled it. Now, if you were just traded before the season and it was, you know, a breakup that wasn't so dysfunctional, then it would be different. But the way he left Houston, it's going to disqualify him. But to add to his value, he leaves Houston and the Rockets go on a 20-game losing streak. That just shows you how valuable James Harden was. That adds to his MVP resume, but he's just not going to win it, in my opinion.
By the way, it's a shame. It's a shame, especially, you know, if you're somebody like me who put $5 down that he'd win it at 33-1.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
How's your bracket looking this morning? Mine's a poop show. I'd say something different, but of course, as we know, this is ESPN. We're a family network. But mine was messed up because I had Illinois win this whole damn thing. And I have fun with this little phrase that I created for this March Madness. Everybody was zagging and I zigged, right? Like everybody and their grandmother had Gonzaga and has Gonzaga. Winning this year's NCAA tournament and for all the right reasons, right? Like undefeated. They do everything great. You know, if there's going to be a team that's going to upset Gonzaga, it's going to be a team that has to do everything well and bring their A-plus game, and everything that they do well, they're going to have to take to a whole nother level and do everything great to match what Gonzaga does. So I get it. But here is my philosophy in regards to the brackets this year. By the way, Anita Marks with you. I'm coming to you from my home studio. Our producers, we've got Ty and Michael back in New York City running the show. Adam Zagoria is going to be joining us in about 30 minutes. So we'll spend this first hour talking about March Madness. We'll bring you up to speed on the games that happened yesterday. And of course, we're going to be previewing the games that are coming up today. Jimmy Patsos, good friend of mine, former head coach of Siena, as well as Loyola. And also assistant coach with Gary Williams back in the day when the Terrapins were hell in the shell and fear the turtle. He's going to be joining us in the second hour. Michael Eaves is going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. Short show today. We are off at 11:30, so Michael's going to join us at 11 o'clock. We're going to preview the Masters, which is right around the corner. So really excited about that. Michael Eaves, ESPN, we have a huge presence there in Augusta during the Masters, and Michael will be there. So excited to get Michael Eaves on the show. And then, of course, I will sprinkle in a lot of NFL talk, specifically what's going on with the trade that happened with the 49ers. I touched on it a little bit yesterday. I want to do a deeper dive today, and also I want to open up the phone lines because I'd love to hear from Jets fans. Also, Zach Wilson had his pro day. And I'm sure Jets fans are thrilled about that. So a lot to get to today across the board. So a lot of college basketball, a little NFL, a little golf. And of course, the Nets make another deal. And I do want to dive into the Nets and their chances, the odds of them winning a championship this season. So that's kind of like the show. But I want to get back to the bracket, and Ty and Michael, please jump in if you agree or disagree with me. It's fine. It's always more fun when you do disagree with me, but this is why I zigged when a lot of people zagged. Because, And I'm curious if you guys could research this, if you can, if not, don't worry about it. But I'm curious, like, what is the percentage of the brackets on ESPN's March Madness bracket challenge? What is the percentage of brackets that picked Gonzaga to win the national championship? I don't know what the percentage is. I'm just going to throw it out there that it has to be in the 90 percentile. That's, again, I'm guessing. But so if that's the case and Gonzaga wins this damn thing, which, again, I would imagine that 90% of the country believe that they are, how you're going to win your bracket is if you pick your first round properly. Really, there it will have come down to how many of the first round games did you get correct. Okay? And then, of course, you know, advancing. But a lot of it is going to come down to how many, especially right now, like, majority of people, we anticipated Baylor. Now, I have Arkansas upsetting Baylor. Get to my bracket in a second. A lot of people had Houston coming out of that region. And I'm really, really sad that Syracuse did lose. Not only did they lose, they got their butts handed to them last night. Let's be honest, 62-46, if you did stay up for that game. So, but a lot of people had that number two seed, Houston, coming out of that Midwest. Like I said, a lot of people have Gonzaga. I actually, out of the West, I had Kansas. I put too much weight into Kansas. And I really truly believe that if they would have come into this tournament 100% healthy and not had to have dealt with the COVID situation, losing their second best player who couldn't play with them for the first two games. And not to take anything away from USC. I think USC is amazing. I think that USC-Oregon game later on tonight, I think it's going to be probably in my... FSU is very near and dear to me. I know a lot of people excited for that FSU-Michigan game. But in regard to just pure athleticism and entertainment value, I think that USC-Oregon game might be the best one that's going to be on TV tonight. So, and I have FSU coming out of the East. So again, my philosophy is, I think a lot of pressure would have been placed on us to win our March Madness bracket if you did pick Gonzaga, right? Because again, and this is just my two cents, 800-919-3776. Call in. If you disagree with me, I want to hear it. But this was my philosophy going in. And that is, so much pressure would have been placed on you, on us, to get the first picks right in order to win if you picked Gonzaga. Okay? And you know, the first rounds were, let's be honest, the first rounds were pretty hard. I mean, you know, who had North Texas over Purdue? Not me, right? I'm looking at some of the other, I mean, Oral Roberts, what an impressive run they had. I know they lost to Arkansas last night, and what a great game that was, right? Came down to the wire. Wasn't a blowout like a lot of these games that we're seeing so far in the Sweet 16. I'm Loyola Chicago as well. I'm trying to look at some of the games that, you know, were obviously some big surprises here. Oklahoma just got their butts handed. That was another team. I thought Oklahoma would challenge Gonzaga. Not that they would beat them, but they would challenge them. I took Oklahoma with the points. Of course, I lost there. But nonetheless, that was my philosophy. Now, if Gonzaga gets beat by either Creighton today or USC or Oregon when they make it to the Elite Eight, now we're all back, right? Now we're all back kind of on an even playing field out of that 90%. And again, I'm assuming that it's 90% picked Gonzaga to win this thing. So then a lot of you winning the bracket, if Gonzaga's knocked out, and Baylor's knocked out. Now I've got Arkansas. So my final four in the majority of my brackets was Arkansas, Illinois. I had Kansas in some. I have USC in some. I have Oregon in some. I kind of mixed that up out of that bracket. Kansas in most. And then I have FSU. And I know a lot of people have Alabama, a lot of people. Coming out of the East, making it to the Final Four, I think across the board, it's Michigan, FSU, Alabama. I have FSU. So if Gonzaga gets upset and doesn't make it to the Final Four, if Arkansas can take care of Baylor, and if FSU advances, I'm still alive and healthy in a lot of my brackets. So anyway, I kind of share that philosophy and what I went in with just to try to, like I said, I zigged when everybody zagged, because it is the NCAA tournament. And this is what makes it, in my opinion, the second most entertaining sporting event on our sports calendar because of the parity. And, you know, Gonzaga is such a powerhouse. And, you know, obviously there, if you went chalk, then you went with Gonzaga. But I think the next few games are going to be fun. Now, am I giving Creighton a chance to win Gonzaga? Listen, any given Sunday, right? Happens to be Sunday. Any given Sunday, you know, if Creighton gets hot and they start draining those threes and they start their shooting percentage is up. But again, in order to beat Gonzaga, you have to do everything well. If there is a team that I think has an opportunity to upset Gonzaga, I do believe that it's USC. Out of Creighton, USC, and Oregon, as the three remaining teams that are still coming out of the West, but USC is going to have to get through Oregon tonight, right? I do believe FSU beats Michigan. I think the wrong team is favored here. And again, we're going to dive into more NCAA talk with Adam Zagoria as well as Jimmy Patsos in the second hour. And I'm curious if Adam feels the same way I do in regards to that FSU-Michigan game today. I just, you know, FSU's getting to, one of my favorite bets is FSU on the money line. But I'll tell you, my second favorite bet was Syracuse on the money line. Syracuse was getting 6.5, getting 7 in some places. Unfortunately, Buddy Boeheim, Buddy Buckets, no buckets. Houston just shut him down. He managed just one first half basket, finished with 12 points, and was 3-for-13 shooting, including 1-for-9 from three-point range. Oh, it just broke my heart. So now, Houston now advances to the Elite Eight, and it's the first trip to the regional finals since the second straight NCAA championship game in 1984, if you recall, and it was a while ago with Hakeem Olajuwon. So the Cougars, back in action, make it back to the Elite Eight, first time since 1984. So it's been a hot second. And they will take on Oregon State, the Beavers, who beat Loyola of Chicago yesterday. And then, of course, we've got Baylor and Arkansas. And again, that's how my South bracket, my South region, I had worked out. I have Arkansas upsetting Baylor. So before we take a break, 800-919-3776. I'm just curious. I'd like to hear from some of our listeners out here. Did you have a strategy with your bracket going in to the tournament? Or did you just go chalk and just say, listen, Gonzaga's going to win this, but I'm going to take some. Here's another strategy could have been like, listen, I'm going to go chalk when Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga's going to win this, but I'm going to make some not so obvious picks to make it to the Elite Eight. Right? I don't know. Maybe you picked Oregon as well. Not a lot of people had Oregon coming out of that bracket. A lot of people had Ohio State. A lot of people had Arkansas, you know, getting upset by Colgate. You know, did you have West Virginia coming out of the Midwest? You know, did you do some off the beaten path picks heading into the Sweet 16, let alone heading into the Elite Eight, but still picked Gonzaga? Was that your strategy? 800-919-3776. Michael, Ty, did you guys, I'm assuming you guys did brackets, right?
Of course.
And of course. Are you still, here, two-part question. Number one, did you have a strategy going in? And number two, is that strategy working for you? Are you still alive?
I'm still alive, technically. The strategy was just for me to pick who I thought the better team was. In a year that there was so much, not controversy, but a lot of question marks, because you're in the bubble, you could have outbreaks with certain teams. So I just went with, you know, who's the better team? I'm going to pick them to win. And I had Michigan beating Illinois in the championship. So Michigan's still alive, but Illinois obviously had been bounced out in the earlier round. So I'm technically still pretty good.
But I'm just curious. Did you have Gonzaga coming out of the West, and do you have Baylor coming out of the South, or no?
Yes, I have Gonzaga coming out of the West and Baylor out of the South.
So your Final Four was Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Illinois.
Correct.
And Illinois winning it. Now Illinois is out.
Yeah. So technically, I'm still alive. I can hit at a 75% clip in my Final Four, depending on what happens today and tomorrow.
Interesting. Michael, is Michael around? Is he?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you still? A, did you have a strategy coming in? B, is your bracket still alive and kicking?
I did have a strategy coming in. I thought the Big Ten was the best conference in the country. That was obviously wrong. I had Ohio State winning it all, and that was over in about a couple of hours. So no,
yeah.
Not alive at all. And I also have some stats for you on teams that picked Gonzaga.
Oh, I love it, Michael. Thank you so much. What is the percentage of people who picked Gonzaga in the ESPN?
So for the tournament challenge, it was 35% for the Bulldogs. Then you had Illinois at 15. You had Baylor at 10, and you had Michigan at 8.
So 35 for Gonzaga, 11 for Illinois.
15.
I'm sorry, 15% for Illinois.
10 for Baylor, and then 8 for Michigan.
10 for Baylor and 8 for Michigan. Interesting. Here I am thinking 90% pick Gonzaga. I just feel like the majority of people that I know that I've spoken to have picked Gonzaga. So only 35%, but still 35% compared to the others. Illinois, again, I was part of that 15% picking Illinois, 10% Baylor, 8% Michigan. That's where Ty lives. Your team, Ohio State, not even part of the percentage, not even part of the equation.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
James Harden saying he feels he's deserving. He should be the MVP. Again, I thought jumping on those odds at 33-1 was something spectacular. I just got a tweet from Zoo. Zoo, thanks for the follow. Appreciate it. At Anita Marks, by the way. Woohoo. He incorporated James Harden in that as well. James Harden to win the MVP. He wagered $50. The odds at that point in time were 36-1. So he laid $50. If Harden wins the MVP, he wins $1,800. That's quite a few pairs of shoes. That's for sure. We've stumbled upon something, and our phone lines have blown up. And we're going to get to all of you, 800-919-3776. Again, those odds right now, Harden 9-1, Giannis 7-1, Jokic is favored at -121. Embiid is 6-1, and LeBron is 8-1. But chances are with their injuries and the length of time that they're going to be out, a number of people, including Ty, are eliminating them from the equation. 800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, you're up.
Hey, what's going on, Anita? This is a great topic you got this morning here, really.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, it always was something that made me laugh. When you hear about whether somebody likes somebody because of their on-field stuff as it relates to them getting into Hall of Fames and things like that. I mean, even let's take the Tiger Woods stuff for an example. I mean, you have all of these, I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that, but all these men who live on the road reporting, like, can I see and know everybody that you've interacted with and they're telling me that you're a good guy? I mean, you're on the road, you've never messed around with your wife while you're on the road? I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, sometimes that term good guy, too, that's a culturally, you know, divisive term. You know, you hear that all the time, and it's really asinine. You know, can I look at your search engine? Can I look at your Google engine? What do you got on your phone? You know, I interview people for a living often, you know, for employment, and I have to run people's, you know, email addresses. You know how many times I come across something like, listen, bro, ADP says that you were on this site, da-da-da-da. Person's in front of me, beautiful suit. Eloquently speaking, all of that. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Okay. 800-919-3776. Let's go to D in Queens. D, you're up.
Hey, what's up, man? The media hates James Harden, flat out. Anytime he's up for the MVP discussion, they shift the goalposts. When Steph won his first MVP, right, they said, oh, because he has the better record, even though James Harden had less health and superior stats. Then when Westbrook won the MVP, they said, even though James Harden had the superior record, they was like, oh, he did something historic. Then when Giannis won the MVP, the first one, James Harden started, did historic stuff, and they still gave it to Giannis based on the record. They always move the goalposts for James Harden. It's ridiculous. Jokic is a fifth seed. How is he over James Harden when James Harden is carrying a team with two starters down multiple games? Durant's barely played this season, only like half the season, but somehow he has all this help. No, he doesn't. He's the help. He's the only one playing every game and holding it down. They always move the goalposts. The reporters make it about themselves as opposed to facts. It's disgusting.
Dee, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Ty, before we go to our next caller, I want to come to you, you know, again, because you watch and you cover a lot more NBA than I do. Do you feel the media hate? You know, I don't use the word hate very often. I think it's a very strong word. Do you feel the media hates James Harden?
I don't think
James
they
Harden?
Hate James Harden. What happened prior to his exit from Houston was all fair. The media was critical of him because what we saw consistently was he would be spectacular in the regular season, won three straight scoring titles, won an MVP, but then fail in the playoffs, crumble. His teams maybe weren't expected to beat the Warriors, but in big games, Harden was a disaster. Like, you remember in, what was it, in 2018, when the Rockets were the best team in the NBA record-wise, they get to a game seven, and they miss 27 straight threes. James Harden's the face of that. You can't allow that to happen. So I think prior to him leaving Houston, it was all fair. They were critical of his performance in the playoffs. And now, because of how that situation transpired, it was unprofessional. You show up to camp, you know, overweight. You are disrespecting your organization blatantly. And it's fair to say what James Harden did was worthy of condemnation. Like, I think all of the criticism of Harden has been fair, but I do also agree that he should be in the MVP conversation. He should be in the MVP because the Nets would not be where they are without him. They would be out of the playoff picture because you look at Durant being hurt, Kyrie's taking some games off. They would not be anywhere close to where they are without James Harden. He's in the MVP conversation without question.
I agree with you. We're having it right here. Our phones are blowing up. It's one thing to be in the conversation. It's another to have a fair chance and a fair shot at winning it if you so are deserving. Let's go to Mel in Jersey. Mel, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Anita. That last caller, all the points that he said about the previous seasons, I like that. So, but one point I want to make, this guy, James Harden, we knew that he went in a trade like 2 months before the season even started. So now he's painted like the bad guy because he had to force his way out. My dad, he used to always say one thing to me when I got in trouble. Yeah, no, you're making me look like the bad guy. Why you want to make me look like the bad guy? No, so that's all I want to say. I think that the organization should have worked with him because he's been really carrying that organization for years, you know? That's all, Anita.
Mel, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Sam in the Bronx. Sam, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, Anita. Love your show. You're awesome.
Thank you.
I want to speak on James Harden. I actually think he should not be MVP. They're not playing amateur basketball. They're playing professional basketball. And at any point you show a lack of professionalism, you should be disqualified. You know, coming in out of shape, speaking publicly about the team. You know, that right there should disqualify him. It's professional basketball. He was not being a professional. So that's just my take. If he would have just played his hand correctly, I think he would have been MVP.
But here's the argument, Sam. And again, listen, I respect your take. Like I said, like I don't think there's a right or wrong take here. I mean, this is more of an opinion than a right or wrong. But here's the thing. James Harden probably feels that if he did not behave, and I hate to use that word, if he did not behave the way he did, or you know, should we call them antics, that he would not have been released, that he wouldn't be in the situation he is right now, that he wouldn't be a part of this Nets organization that now is favored to win a championship. So, you know, I would imagine if you were to speak, if you were to speak to him right now, Sam, I would imagine, again, that is my opinion, I would imagine that he felt that that was a need to an end.
No, totally understand that, but you signed the contract and he wasn't complaining when he got a record deal. So when you had to honor that contract, and if you feel that, you know, you should have, you know, you have a say where you should go, well, there's opt-out clauses and there's other avenues. When you go publicly and say that, you know, we're not a good team, or, you know, whatever he said about Houston when he went public in front of the media, that right there was not a sign of an MVP. You're, when you're an MVP, you carry a team, you're the face of a team. And right there, I just don't think he represented himself the right way. He disqualified himself right there just by doing that. Now, next year, he puts on these numbers that absolutely, you know, you come with a better attitude and you rebrand yourself. I'm all for him. I think he should be MVP just on merits. But there's more than that. We all know that.
Sam, again, I thank you for your phone call and your kind words. And again, I do respect your opinion. This is more of an opinion thing than it is a right or right thing, wrong or right thing, like I said. And more folks wanting to chime in. So this is what, Ty, this is what we're going to do. This is called producing on the fly. We were going to play Jimmy Patsos, who was on with me on Friday night for the gambling show, Week in Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. And I had him break down today's games. We're getting a lot of traction. A lot of people want to talk about this topic. And also, I'm only on until 11:30 today, and I want to talk about the San Francisco 49ers trade. So, Ty, if we can do this, if we could put that Sunday Jimmy Patsos, if we could put that up on my Twitter site as a podcast, so folks can have the opportunity to listen to that via, you know, our website, just so they can get that information from Jimmy, that would be great. I'd appreciate that at some point in time today. Prior to tip off for the first game. We will continue on this topic. Pat, I see you. We'll get to you first, 800-919-3776. And like I said, I want to dive into the 49ers trade that took place this week with the Miami Dolphins and how this is going to affect the Jets, because there's another team out there that's looking to trade up to get a quarterback. And because of that, and because of the quarterback that I believe the 49ers are looking to take at three, I think Joe D's phone is blowing up right now.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I just wanted, and I'm going to get to your calls in just a second. So Pat and Ira, hang tight. But I want to get to this because I think this is really, really important, especially for Jets fans. So this 49ers trade goes down on Friday. And prior to that, I was hearing that the 49ers were really coveting Kyle Pitts, who, by the way, I think is the second best player in this draft. For me, and just to give you an idea in regard, let me preface by sharing with you my draft boards, okay? My draft boards, top four players. Number one, Trevor Lawrence. Number two, Kyle Pitts. Number three and four alternate between Ja'Marr Chase and Patrick Surtain, okay? So they're kind of... You know, at that point in time, and again, I know I'm not a GM. I just pretend to be one at times. If I'm a team that I have the third pick, and I'm not in the quarterback chase, which again, you do not want to draft hungry, but majority of teams do. I've got both Ja'Marr Chase and Patrick Surtain ranked the same. So maybe at that point in time, I'll look at need and I'll take a player based on need at that point, because I have them ranked the same. Okay. But those are my top four players in regard to like my draft board. Okay. Quarterback wise. Now here's a totally different draft board, right? And these are your draft boards based on your rankings, based on the position. Embrace yourself. I've been saying this, and now because of the events that have taken place on Friday, I find it really interesting now. And that is, number one quarterback is Trevor Lawrence, and we all know he's going to go to Jacksonville. My number two quarterback is Mac Jones. Okay, why? not as sexy, not as athletic, but best accuracy of all the quarterbacks coming out. Best accuracy, hands down. Probably best accuracy of a college quarterback, I'd say top five in the last decade, by the way. Ability to process the game as quickly as you need to. Better than most. Top five probably in the last decade. Did more with less than Tua did at Alabama. Strong arm, not phenomenal arm. Maneuverability in the pocket, not tremendous athleticism like Trey Lance has or Justin Fields has. But look around the quarterbacks that are winning championships. You know, outside of course Patrick Mahomes. He checks leadership. He just checks all the boxes. So for me, Mac Jones, number two quarterback in this draft. And then I give Zach Wilson a leg up on Justin Fields. And then I got Kellen Mond above Trey Lance. Why? Trey Lance is a project. Here's the difference. If you're drafting Mac Jones, you will immediately, Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence are the only two quarterbacks in this draft that you'll be able to plug in, play, and win. Zach Wilson, you'll be able to plug in and he'll play, but it's still going to be, that's going to be a player that you're going to be like, oh, well, it's his rookie year. He still has a lot of growing to do, things like that. Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence are your only two quarterbacks that you are plug, play in, and can win for you. I do believe that Zach Wilson, and that's why Zach Wilson is one step ahead of Justin Fields for me in regard to a quarterback that you can start, but what are your realistic expectations for that team that season? I don't, you know, does he, you know, do you go 500 with him? Possibly. I wouldn't be surprised, but he's still somewhat of a project. Justin Fields is a project, and Trey Lance is like a three-year project. He's like a three-year project. You draft him, it's kind of like a Jordan Love, right? You draft him for all the athletic, you know, the ability to throw the ball 90 yards with a flick of a wrist. You draft him for all that he brings, all the intangibles that he brings as an athlete. But there's a lot of work there to be done with Trey Lance, and chances are he won't be ready to start for you at least for 3 years, okay? So anyway, so that's my quarterback board. Take it for what it's worth. Now, let's talk about what happened this week. When the announcement was made that the 49ers traded, I immediately thought, oh man, they're moving up because they know Kyle Pitts won't fall past 9, and the 49ers were at 12. Okay? So, but then of course I reports came out that they gave up two first round picks, one in 2022, the other one in 2023. That means they're moving up for a quarterback. And I shared this on my show yesterday as well as the gambling show. Kyle Shanahan, as we know, is the head coach of the 49ers. His father, Mike, and their family, they own a quarterback development company called QB Collective. A lot of people don't know this. Follow them on Twitter, Google them, check them out. Kyle's been working with Justin Fields for 4 or 5 years now. Justin Fields has been a part of the QB Collective company. And I want to say that he has, and I believe, I'm not sure, I'm like 80% sure that his agent is the same as a number of the head coaches. Sean McVay contributes, LaFleur. It's all from the Shanahan tree, and they're all part of this QB collective, and it's about instilling the QB principles in these young men that are looking to get recruited out of high school into college and developing them, getting them ready, obviously, to play in the NFL. So immediately I think, Justin Fields is on the front page of their website. So I'm thinking Justin Fields. They moved up to 3 to get Justin Fields. Okay, so, but then I started making calls. I started text messaging. And I had quite a few general managers and quite a few scouts who've been in the business for over 30 years telling me that they feel that the 49ers have moved up to 3 for Mac Jones. Whoa, okay. Start doing a little bit more research. And this is the vibe. This is what I'm hearing. Now, keep in mind, the whole point about the draft is, you know, part of it is for it to be a smoke show, so nobody knows what you're doing. But where I sit right now and the phone calls and the text messages that I made and the research I did on Friday, I am I am 75-20. I'm 75% confident that the 49ers are going to draft Mac Jones at 3. Okay? So what does this mean for the Jets? Now, Zach Wilson had his pro day. Apparently, Jets are in love with Zach Wilson. We know that Trevor Lawrence is going to go to Jacksonville at 1. But everything I'm hearing is that the Patriots, either two things are going to happen with the Patriots. They're going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. The Patriots did not spend all this money in free agency to come into the season with Cam Newton, with all due respect. And if you look at the deal that they signed with Cam Newton, they signed that deal with Cam Newton to come in and continue to be their quarterback and either compete, maybe start the beginning of the season, or be a backup. We're hearing they want to get Jimmy G back. Either that's going to happen with the 49ers. If the 49ers get Mac Jones, here's the thing. Either the 49ers are going to get Mac Jones and trade Jimmy Garoppolo. The Patriots want Jimmy Garoppolo. If they can't, I would not be shocked. The Patriots want Mac Jones. I wouldn't be shocked is that a quarterback that the Jets are willing? Are the Jets willing to make that deal and trade with? Because the only way that the Patriots get Mac Jones, I feel 75%, is if they jump ahead of the 49ers and get Mac Jones at 2. But then, Joe D's going to... It's just there's so many question marks here. You know, are the Jets so dead set on Zach Wilson? Or is that the narrative that's out there so that there's unbelievable offers that Joe Douglas and the Jets can't turn down as we get closer to the draft for a team that wants to get up and... Whether it is Zach Wilson, whether it is Justin Fields, whether it is Mac Jones, whatever the case. But here's my point. 800-919-3776. We come back, Ira, I see you. You'll be first up, okay? Here's my point. Hashtag champagne problems. This trade that has transpired Friday with the 49ers only puts the Jets in an even better situation. Only puts the Jets in a better situation. Because now teams are making a push for not only... Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, but now Mac Jones now has become a realistic contender to be a top 3 pick in the NFL. And it only benefits the Jets. And I'm telling you this, there are going to be some deals that are going to be presented and offered to the Jets that just might be too good, too tempting, too juicy for Joe Douglas to turn down. So Jets fans, be ready that maybe, just maybe, the Jets don't take Zach Wilson at 2. Go another year with Sam Darnold and get the world for that number 2 pick.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.